Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for High Velocity Radio.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. Stone Payton here with you this afternoon, and you are in for a real treat. Please join me in welcoming to the broadcast speaker, author, coach, Therese Skelly. How are you, Therese?
I am great. Thank you, Stone. Good to be here with you.
Well, it is an absolute delight to have you on the show. I've been looking so forward to this conversation. Before we get too deep into your practice and your work, can you give our listeners just sort of an overview, mission, purpose? What are you out there really trying to do for folks?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, I believe that, at least for me, I'm really mission-driven. I kind of believe that we are given, you know, from God or whatever you believe, like we have a purpose to achieve in the world. And for a lot of us, we do that through the vehicle of our business. And what happens when you, especially if you're selling your own services, right? When you are the service, you bump into a lot of mindset stuff, a lot of like, yeesh, right? And so what I do, I just want people, and particularly women, I work with a lot of women, I want to free them to be their best selves so they can make maximum money, be strong, be confident, be great role models and demonstrations for future generations. Just a small little undertaking that I got going on there, right?
Well, it certainly is a noble purpose or even a set of noble purposes. Tell us a little bit about the path, the backstory that got you here.
It was really messy, Stone. It was not, I think on a soul level, it was ordained, but it was not a logical linear. So really quickly, I was a psychotherapist, master's degree, and I practiced therapy for years and years. I had small kids. I was very content. And I started my own practice, which I don't know if you know, it's very different having a little therapy practice. It's different than having a business. Like I say, my marketing plan was, please send me clients. Like I knew nothing, right? And then one day I had gone to a networking group. So I got on a newsletter and there was an ad that said business coaches wanted. And so I somehow, the crazy part, my hands are on the keyboard applying, my head's going, what the heck are you doing? Because I have a criminal justice undergrad. I have a, you know, master's in counseling major. I never read a business book. Like that's the crazy part. There was no part of me that should have even thought that I had the ability to be a business coach. Because I thought Excel was a phone company. I didn't know the words P&L. Like I literally knew nothing. And then the next time, a business coach. And so it was quite a learning curve. But what I say is my soul guided me to that place, because from then on, it completely changed the trajectory of my life, changed who I am, completely opened up a whole world of influence and possibility and income. And it's just been magical. But again, it wasn't like, oh, when I was 12, I thought I'd be a business owner. It wasn't like that at all. So it was kind of divinely inspired, I think.
So as you began to experience your practice, your work unfolding in this yes. new chapter of your life and your work, was there a defining moment where you said, okay, I've made it, or you said to yourself, yep, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing with my life, at least for now? Or did it just sort of sneak up on you?
There's so many defining moments, you know? So one was when I made the first six figure, when I made six figures. That was a very defining moment. Another defining moment when I was like, I'm miserable making six figures. And I decided to kind of let it crash and burn a little bit because I was working in a way that didn't really serve me. You know, as a woman, single parent with young kids, I was really out of balance. And so I felt like very much a slave to my business. I had two assistants at the time, and we thought we were like these like martyrs for the cause. We'd have our business meetings at midnight, you know, and today I'm like, what a nut I was. I had no boundaries. I was just working all the time. And so the first defining moment was, yeehaw, I made the money. And then the second defining moment was, but I'm not willing to do it that way anymore. So it was really about finding what worked for me, for my rhythms, getting in tune, like what matters, what really matters, you know? So those are both very defining.
Well, money is one of the topics I wanted to touch on briefly during our conversation today. And what's driving my interest and intrigue around it? In my previous life as serving in the management consulting arena, and now in this work that I'm in now, where we use media as a platform to try to support and celebrate business, even in my world right now, I have people who seem to be doing essentially the same thing, and be doing it well. And I'll have one, you know, making, I guess you'd call it middle five figures, and others, you know, well into six figures. And I just have to believe it. It's not just the work. It's between their ears. Some of this.
100%. Yes. Yep. Yes. That's my work these days. Yeah. Because, you know, and so what I focus on largely these days, cause I was a marketing strategist, business consultant, and yet my brilliance really is finding why the five figures, why aren't you? Cause here's what I know. Most of us are really smart and we really care and we're willing to bust our butts to do anything we can. Like, it's not for lack of trying. It's not for laziness, but there's crazy energetic blocks that literally hold people back. And I'm kind of a ninja in this area. That's kind of my magic. So I could tell you so many stories of things that, like, seemingly random. It's like, really, that's what it is? And it's that. Like, so it's not what you think it is very often. There are reasons that people are blocked and stuck. They're carrying energies that aren't their own. They've had a situation in their lives at a certain age. They made a decision. It's not safe to shine. You know, money's going to hurt people. There's all kinds of stuff. It's pretty fascinating, actually, when you get into it.
Well, you talk about energy and emotions a lot in your speaking work, in your writing, and I had the pleasure of having a pre-interview conversation, if you will, and the topics of energy and emotions and how they can affect business came up even in that brief conversation. And for some people, and I'll be candid with you, me included, that conversation, you know, it's a little awkward for me. Isn't it a little awkward for you when you're first working with folks?
So in the beginning, I would do 90% strategy and 10% kind of what I call clearing or inner game or psychology work. But what would happen is, because I'm really good at it and people would get results, suddenly my clients would be like, yeah, I don't need strategy. Can you help me? My sales aren't converting. Can you help me figure out why? And and sometimes I would literally be looking at sales pages and helping with messaging. But oftentimes I'm just like tuning into the energy of it. And so it took me a lot of years just to, because it's a little bit woo. Actually, it's a lot woo and pretty esoteric. It took me a lot of years to own it. And so now, because I'm pretty known for it, you know, nobody comes to me surprised by it, right? Most people are like, oh God, I've been hearing about you. You know, I've tried everything else. And within 30 minutes, they're dazzled because I can, like, I'll give you a session. Like, seriously, you should, after this, we'll book a session of you. I'll show you how the work goes. Because it's very easy for me to find, wow, that is the exact place that you are blocked and holding the money back.
Well, you're very gracious to offer that. And the answer is yes, I would absolutely like to.
But okay.
It brings up another topic. I don't have that gift or that skill set to work on that near to the degree that it sounds like you do.
Yes.
But over the years, I have picked up some specialized knowledge and expertise, particularly in sales mechanics. And what I have found over the years, the people who could really use that work the most, the marginal performer, is pretty resistant. And the person who jumps all over the opportunity and even if they're making seven figures and I'm making six, their mentality is like, man, if I can pick up one idea from Stone, you know, they have find that the top performers want to do anything they can to just get that slight extra edge? And they seem to embrace the idea of new learning more than the marginal performer, or is that just me in my world?
you know, are you working with a lot more men? Is it more of a gender thing?
I hadn't thought about that. If I went and looked at that, it may be that it skews more heavily toward male. What I'm really leaning on, and this has been some years, you know, my work has shifted some that I'm sort of the number two guy in this media company. Mm-hmm. But back when I had something closer to a real job and I would go out and I would I did sales training and leadership development training in the sales training arena. I got to tell you, the most engaging, the most engaged, the most invested people in the room were the top two or three performers, not the marginal performers that needed the work the
Absolutely.
Most.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot. There's, you know, I teach sales as well, and I do it probably very differently than you, right? We're probably working in the more masculine way of doing sales. I'm working in the more feminine energy way of doing sales. And a lot of it is, number one, who you have to be. And so those top performers already have the identity of a high achiever. They already, you know, when an objection occurs, they're not falling into doubt. They're like, oh yeah, I got it. You know what I mean? And so for me, when I teach sales, I work a lot with the mindset, how to not fall down in an objection, how to really own the value of either yourself or the product. Like, 'cause if you can't own the value and understand the value, that's a rough sell, you know? And how, you know, a lot of people, the objections just, they take it personally. They don't know how to manage it. And so I teach. So there's a lot of psychology, not just the tactical, say this if they say that, go to A if they say B. Right. You know what I mean? It's really who you have to be, because you have to be really strong in those moments. And you have to like take a stand for the benefit of what you're selling. And that's a learned skill. A lot of people, particularly women, don't have that naturally. We're not taught to kind of keep fighting. We're like, okay, it's all right. I'm sorry. I don't want to bother you. I don't want to be a pest. Call me if you ever want. You know, I think women back down a lot more than men do.
So now that you've been at this as long as you have and have seen a lot, I suspect, have you observed some I guess patterns emerge where you can pretty quickly say yep to yourself, I guess, yep, I've seen this before, I think I know how I want to guide this conversation because I'm seeing and hearing things from Stone that I've been down this road before. Does that happen to you now?
I'm not really following a pattern.
I know, again, and I'm drawing on my work, yeah. If I listen to someone talk to me about their approach in their sales process, if I talk to three different people this week, okay. I'll pick up some consistencies. Okay. I'm like, yep,
got
I've
it,
seen
got
that.
It. Okay. Yeah. No, I didn't know if you were talking about patterns in the industry. So you're talking about patterns in people, yes. And, you know, here's my crazy ninja gifts. I can feel energy. And so you can talk and I'm like, right there. Ah! Like I literally can go, stop, hold on. Wait, right there. It's right there. You know? So part of it is the literal words. You know, and I'll say, how's that? And they're like, oh, that's good. And I'm like, I'm not buying that. You know what I mean? So some of it is I don't let people off the hook when there feels to be like an incongruity. I always call that out. So, yeah.
Well, I would think a lot of that would be, I don't know, under the surface for the person. Like they're not necessarily intentionally hiding it from you.
Exactly.
Like they don't realize it. Yeah, say more about that.
I feel like, well, for me, the journey, let me back up. There is so much in our unconscious that Stone, they say like 95% of what drives us is unconscious. So I kind of say, well, get up, you get to choose what you wear for the day and pretty much that's it, right? Like everything else is old patterning, other people's beliefs, funky energy. And so my goal is to be very aware. So when I'm off, I'm like, wait, what? What is that? Is that a part of me? Is that my grandmother's energy? Like my goal is to be an explorer of, wait, what happened with that thought? But most people are not as mindful of their consciousness, if you will. And so that's why they have me. Like they'll say something and I'll be like, stop. Let's look at the energy of that. Did you like what happened in your body when you just said that just now? Does it feel heavy? Does it feel light? Does it make you like woohoo? Or does it make you like, oh yeah, I gotta go sell. Yay. You know? And so I catch them because I can hear the words and feel the energy. And I show them like, you cannot sell with that desperate energy. Nobody's buying. Like, so how do you gotta be? Come on, let's, cause I do a lot of work with being. Like, you cannot show up to a sales call going, oh, please God, I need a sale to pay a bill. Like, it will never work. It will, you know, your prospect's going to feel it. And so you have to get your energy right and show up like, I don't need the sale. I'm just here to serve. If you buy, cool. So you meaning non-attached because you trust in the abundance of the universe, right? That's the goal. Now, that's a hard one to get to all the time, but that's the goal.
The reason I'm kind of smiling here on the other end, I had a mentor who I think the world of, and he used to say, if you're too hungry, they can smell it on you. Mm-hmm. And that's what he was talking about.
True, right? Absolutely. Yeah. Ooh, desperation is creepy energy, right? Nobody wants to buy that. Yeah.
So I was going to ask, you know, how do you know if you're getting stuck with some unconscious patterns? But I think my evolving question is, or what I'm beginning to realize is, of course you have unconscious patterns. So just go ahead and own that. 100%. And then maybe it makes sense to go ahead and work on them systematically in some disciplined fashion with some rigor and some structure. Not if you have them. Of course you've got them. You're human.
Yeah, we all have them.
Okay.
You know, the whole thing is look at your results. Like the proof is in the pudding there. And one of the best ways, Stone, that I can always go ding, 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 stop and start patterns. Stop and start. That's always an indicator. So it would be maddening. I would be working with somebody and I would create this fabulous strategy. Like I was on fire. I mean, I have got their revenue. I'm like, here you go. And then 3 weeks later, they'd come back and they'd be like, well, I don't know. I needed to research. The kid got sick. The dog had to walk. And I'm just like, what just happened? And I didn't understand it for a while, but see, that's the difference. So consciously, yes, I want that goal. Yeah. I'm willing. Okay. That's a great plan, Trees. Okay. I like that idea. I'll do it. And then the unconscious pulls you under and that's when self-doubt comes. That's when distraction comes. That's when overwhelm. Sometimes like you literally get sick, you know? So when I see in my clients, or if you guys are listening, if you see in yourself, like, oh my gosh, stop, start. I do that all the time. That's an indicator that you're being blocked by something. Do you want me to tell you how to kind of get some, like do your own work here? Should I give some tips?
Absolutely. Lay it on us.
Okay. So a super simple one is you want to look at the resistance. Cause if I like, let's just say Stone, I'm just going to pretend you're my client here and you say, well, I really want to write this book, but God, for whatever reason, I haven't been able to. I would say something like, what would be the potentially negative thing about getting that done? And you would say, nothing's negative, right? Because like, you're like, duh, of course it's not negative. And so I would say it's not a logical question. What would be so whatever your thing is, maybe it's to make six figures or speak on stage or get your own show. The question is, what would be the potentially negative thing about achieving the goal? And you don't answer it with your logical brain. You just kind of like, first thing that pops. And then I flip it and say, what's the potentially positive thing about not achieving your goal? And people say, but there's nothing positive. I'm like, shh, it is, because it's here. It's serving you somehow. And here's what you find. Things like, oh, if I did it, then I could fail. Or, oh, if I did it, maybe they wouldn't like it. See, like that's what we're after. That little nugget of the protection, right? The stop start is happening because there's a party that wants it and there's a bigger part of you that is afraid of it. And we just got to find that and then release it. Then you're free to go. Then there's not hitting the brakes most of the time. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense, but it is counterintuitive, right?
Exactly. That's why I always say it's not going to make sense. And they're going, there's no positive reason. But if it's here, we call it a payoff, or in the therapy world, a secondary gain. It's staying around because it's serving you, right?
Mm.
So that's just one quick trick.
I can tell, and I know our listeners can, from the energy just coming over the airwaves, that you find the work incredibly rewarding. And I want to hear more about what you find the most rewarding in a moment, but I am interested to know what are some of the biggest challenges in your work?
You know, so recently, well, not recently, a year ago, I kind of rebranded because I was known as a business coach, right? So when I first started marketing strategist, business coach, that gave me credibility. because back 15, 16 years ago, nobody was talking about mindset. And of course, they were not talking about energy and emotions and spirit and source. And, you know, like none of that was spoken about. It was more hardcore business. And so I kind of snuck it under the radar for a lot of years. And I went to a branding company and they listen, you know, like you hear me talk, right? And they're like, you're not a business coach. And I was like, what? Like, you know, you're probably very good at a business, being a business coach, but stay in your lane. You must be known. Like, this is your lane. And Stone, I, you know, one of my tenets when I teach selling is to own your value. And I had this crisis of, will anybody pay for this? Like, how freaking sad is that, right? I'm like, how do I charge? What do I do? What do I, is it an, I really, for months, I couldn't even market. I couldn't even talk about it. I was just, if I'm not a business coach, who am I? And now words guide, mentor, and I'm like, who's going to pay for it? And so that was really, it's very easy to sell. When I used to sell sales, I can get an ROI on if you make two sales, you get X. When I'm working with your energy and emotions, I have had a harder time quantifying that. And I mean, that's been my challenge. So.
And what are you finding the most rewarding? What do you enjoy the most?
Oh my gosh. I feel like I say the word ninja. It's a gift. It really is a gift because I work with people who are so, I just love them. Their souls are so good and they want so much to make a difference. And I work with what's called a pendulum and I use my intuition. And I can just go, what happened when you were two or four or before you were born or with your grandfather? And they just look at me like, what? And then the information comes. And I can literally find the exact spot that they're blocked. And what I know is if they didn't have me, they would spend $30,000 more with other mentors. They would spend years and years and years and years and years and years, and they would never get their work out in the world to the with the ease and to the degree that I can help them get it out. So it's literally like, I get to see people live their dreams. Wow. Because I can facilitate. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What a gift.
I guess that's worth pretty good money then, right? What am I saying? I should charge for that more.
Absolutely. Double your fees.
Double my fees. Thank you. Don't tell me to. I'll do it.
What a gift. That is marvelous. I tell them, get your own radio show, double your fees and quit writing proposals. But it sounds like you've got something a little deeper. That's fantastic.
That's right.
So let's talk about the book. You've recently published a book.
Yes. That was cool. Yeah. It's called Love-Based Mission, How to Create a Business That Serves Your Soul. And it was number one on Amazon. Didn't expect that, but it was pretty exciting to see it when it showed up. So.
And what was the catalyst for that? Because you've obviously, you could have written a book 10 years ago, but
there's a funny thing. Yeah, I'll tell you. So 5 years ago, my friend who was the publisher came to me and said, hey, I'm adding another arm of my company and we're bringing authors in to publish. So her brand is Love-Based Business. And so do you want to publish? And so I was like, yes. Okay. Signed a contract. And then my mom died. My father-in-law died. My son got really sick. So that took me out for about a year and a half. And so I'm ready to start. And then my son's father died suddenly. And so then that took me out another year and a half. And so then I finally wrote a book and it sucked. It was really terrible. And because Stone, the reason is I was phoning it. I didn't know I was phoning it in, but I was going for the word count. I was like, okay, I got to do, I was trying to just crank out stuff. And when I got the edits back, my publisher friend had to come to me and say, look, if you're going to write a book about transformation, you kind of have to let the book transform you. And so it's interesting that the book didn't come about until, remember I said, I rebranded and I had to get super clear on my mission. Because there's a lot of people that are wonderful business coaches and great marketers, far better than me. And so for me to say, you know, I want to help with my little slice. And so the premise of the book is that most people I work with are service-based business owners, right? So when you are up for sale, when the commodity of Stone is up for sale or the commodity of Therese, that's a whole different thing than selling for a company. And you will bump into so many of your own issues. And so it's kind of like how to navigate that because we all have a mission, but we are, especially women, are trained to play small. And so it's like a lot of exercises to just get your mission out in the world in a much bigger way. And I think I had to live the book to write the book. So it's funny, it took me 5 years. That's the backstory. Yeah.
Well, as most things, I think it probably happened exactly the way it was supposed to.
You know it. 100%. Yeah, you got it.
But while we're talking about books, do you have any counsel advice, maybe the way that you approach reading a book? And the reason I'm asking the question is I've had a number of mentors, and I know I've had mentors who, you know, basically dip the book in yellow. You know, they highlight it or write notes in the margin. I've had others who are just searching for that one idea. I've had others who will read a little bit and try to implement something. Do you have a way that you approach getting value from books? And do you have a recommended way of how to get the most out of this book?
I'll start with your last question because it's easier to answer. Okay. Somebody gave me feedback and they said, this isn't a book you read. This is a book you do. And I was really impressed with that. I've actually read the book and I was kind of like, it's actually really good. You know what I mean? Like, because when you're writing it, you're too close to it. Right. And so it's super easy to read. My book is really easy to read. And you can tell I'm pretty grounded, right? I have the spiritual part and the energetic part, but I don't want woo-woo. I don't want people going, you are so flippin' esoteric. I don't know what you're saying, sister. Like, I want people to go, oh, that's how you do it. And so I give very practical, here's an exercise, here's a meditation, here's how to handle that little voice that's nagging at you. Like, it's very practical. That's everybody that read the book was like, wow, I'm still getting like, I read your book and it helped me with that. So the way I read books, I'm not really a highlighter person. I don't even know the Colby indicator. I'm like a quick start person. So I kind of like scan. I'm like, oh, that's good. And then I probably have 9 other books. You know, it's terrible. The people, the brains like mine, it's just like all over the place with lots of information. I'm more of an auditory person too. So talk a lot to get my world. So yeah.
Fabulous. Well, before we go, I want to make sure that our listeners know how to get in touch with you or someone on your team if they'd like to have a more substantive conversation, maybe explore doing some of this work. What is there, a website or a LinkedIn email, whatever's appropriate?
Yes. So my website is TereseSkelly.com. And I do have to say, it's kind of old. It's a little dated. It looks good, but it's kind of dated. TereseSkelly.com. And if you're interested, if you want to have a conversation, like what would it take to work together? No cost conversation. Like, you just would go to TereseSkelly.com/let's connect. We'll get you on my calendar and we'll just have a conversation and see what's possible to work together. And I have like short, 30-day stints, long term. So you're not looking at signing, your children away. I can just get you a quick fix if that's what you need. So
I love it. And where can we get our hands on this book?
Well, my website has it, but it's also on Amazon. So either my website, it'll say book, treescale.com/book, or just go to Amazon. Love-based mission, how to create a business that serves your soul.
Well, Therese, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. Thank you for your energy. Thank you for your work. Please keep up the good work. And thanks for sharing your story.
I appreciate that. So it was great to be here with you as well. Good to meet you.
All right. Until next time, this is Stone Payton for our guest today, Therese Skelly, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.